What up, folks? What it do? Welcome to another episode of the Best Advice Ever podcast. Yes, with your boy, Mike Goodwin, the bow-tied comedian. I'm a comedian. I do my shows on the road. I start my segments of the podcast every time with the On the Road segment. And that's what I'm going to start with today. Just got back from Steel City, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, I had an event in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which I need to look at this. I think Pittsburgh is known for naming a bunch of their towns or cities other state names. I'm not familiar with other places that are named states. Is there a Georgia, South Carolina? I'm not certain that there is a Maine, North Carolina. I don't know if there is a Texas, Washington. Y'all can help me out if you are familiar with places that have the names of their towns and cities as states. Again, I'm South Carolinian. The closest thing I think we have to something like that, I think we use direction. Like there's a due west South Carolina. There's a north South Carolina. But I do not think that there is a Louisiana South Carolina or a Tennessee South Carolina, but I was in Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is a town that is about an hour and a half outside of Pittsburgh. So I flew into Pittsburgh and then I had to drive over to Indiana, Pennsylvania. And I had a situation happen that has never happened before. I fly pretty regularly, quite frequently. And, you know, it's always interesting for me. I think I talked about this on the last podcast. The things that I don't like about travel are the things that are outside of my control. Well, I walk up to the TSA counter and my mind tells me, because I wasn't, let's see, Friday morning in Colombia, what my experience has shown, if you have TSA, and even if you don't have TSA, just getting in, there's only been one time over the course of 12 years where I had I was sweating in line. Didn't think I was going to make my connection or make it to the flight. And I didn't in this regard. But this particular time, I was running a little bit behind my schedule because what I realized about myself, I used to be the guy that wanted to get to the gate maybe 30, 40 minutes before, maybe sometimes an hour before. Now that's not the case. I'm good with getting at the gate 10 minutes before they start boarding. Or I want to at least be seated to hear the announcement. So 20 minutes may be the number. Unlike some people I know that they want to walk in as soon as their boarding section is called. if they want to get there, as soon as the people say, "We will begin pre-boarding, all active duty and retired military members." I want to at least be seated, maybe charging a phone, going through Instagram and Facebook a couple of times before I hear that. But when I walked up to TSA, I had in my brain, my mind told me, hey man, I haven't had, because I've walked up to TSA before and have had my flight canceled. Like when I pull the app up, like I found that out as I was checking in, like, oh, that flight's not going to make it. So I had that thought. I had like, man, it's been a while since I've had significant travel issue, right? I think most recently I spent a night in Atlanta, and I can't even tell you. I know that wasn't in 2024. It might have been the end of 2023, right? So I had that thought. I walk up to the gate and have the thought of, oh, man, I hadn't had any travel issues. So get on the flight. And we're about to take off. Like, we're taxiing down the runway, like about to take off, and the pilot hits the brakes. I've never had that happen. Like, once you start going fast, like, you off into the sky. This guy hit the brakes like he was, like, my thought was he was about to hit another plane. Maybe there was a wildlife animal. There was some wildlife on the runway. I mean, it was kind of jarring. And the guy didn't come on immediately to tell us what had happened. But basically, a signal or a warning went off in the brakes. Man had to. He had to hit the brakes. So we probably, you know, and this was one of the times where, too, I was flying from Columbia to LaGuardia. I don't do that pretty. Most of my connections go through Atlanta. And in this case, I was going to get to LaGuardia at like 7:30, but my next flight to Pittsburgh wouldn't leave until 11:30. So I thought I would have all this time in this sky lounge or wherever, just getting some stuff done. Nope. I think we ended up leaving Columbia because I got to the airport at like 5. Well, I left the house at 5. But my flight was boarding at 5:20. We didn't end up leaving until about 8:30. That put us into LaGuardia an hour and some change. I probably got into LaGuardia around 10:20. So I had less than an hour before my flight started boarding at 11:30. But I thought I had all this time. And I, you know, so that's why I try not to make all these plans before. But I traveled with that half bag traveling case because it was only one day. But that was not a good idea because I flew to LaGuardia. And in LaGuardia, you are walking as if you're on a Division I college campus. It's like you're leaving the journalism building to go to the engineering building. Like, the amount of walking that happened, it was pretty ridiculous. It was pretty ridiculous. And I must say, I had the worst chicken quesadilla in the history of chicken quesadilla. It was awful. And the issue was, so again, I had an hour and a half drive from Indiana. So my show, I think the show started at 7:30. And I need to talk about this show because I put myself on a time restraint. I can't. But I got back into the Pittsburgh area by the airport. I went like downtown Pittsburgh. Stuff is closing. And I went to this particular restaurant. I had late night on it. You know, I'm pulling up. It's like 10:30. They were closing. There was an Applebee's. I was like, man, I'm not going to no Applebee's. And so I needed to get some gas for the rental car, right? And so I ended up getting some food at Sheetz gas station. I don't know what drew me in. I've never had food at Sheetz before. But I think I had the thought of two birds and one stone. And I should have not killed the second bird. I should have let that bird live because that was the trash. I mean, I don't know if it was bad, but I think the reason it was so bad because I had high hopes. You know, they gave me options that you don't typically get to make options. And I added some jalapeno peppers. I added some yum yum sauce, some types of sauce, and some cheeses I normally don't add. And the worst meal. And I don't know, I must admit this, I have some difficulty corporate fasting. I do have difficulty corporate fasting because I'm pretty fastidious with my food. Like, I don't eat like some of y'all eat. Some of y'all eat like mad men and women. I do have my moments, but for the most part, I'm pretty calculated. I know what I'm going to eat. I'm not out here wheeling and dealing, taking chances in the dark, right? So I have limited meals, and I hate a bad meal. I really have about 4 meals I eat a day, especially when I'm on my meal. And I'm not on prep. But I'm paying attention to the number of calories, my protein, all that. I got about four meals a day. Matter of fact, today I had breakfast. I'll eat again at 12. Eat again at 4. And then you eat again around 7 or 8. Those are my four meals. And the first meal for breakfast is simply eggs and grits. And then the other three meals are some variation of protein, rice, and a vegetable. Some variation, whether that's chicken, whether that's ground beef, lima beans, string beans. There's some variation. The snacks in between, there may be a yogurt. There's some graham crackers. I might have some caramel popcorn, like for a snack. I got a couple of, I do have to do a little some snacks, but my meals are pretty standard. I got an apple. I'll have an apple here later. So when folks start trying to tinker with my meals, I don't like it, man. Because I'm looking at the people, man. I'm looking at the people. And again, I'm not the paragon of fitness either, by no stretch. I put a little pressure on the midsection of my clothes. Now I'm not going, but hey, man. I see a lot of folks that's like, hey man, let me handle the food stuff. So my Friday night having that bad meal, I was very upset. So I wanted to get a replay on that meal. But that was my deal. Shout out to the Young Life fundraiser that I did in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Also, there was a Rite Aid in the airport in Pittsburgh. Very interesting. I haven't seen a drugstore in a airport since Germany. I think Germany had an airport Rite Aid, like the whole deal, like a whole Rite Aid in the grocery store. But yes, that was my on the road again segment. But this is a segment we've all been waiting for, the segment that the podcast is actually named after. The best advice ever. Let me share with you the best advice ever. I had another thought about what I was going to talk about, but then I talked to my cousin and I said, oh man, this is going to be a podcast episode. And today I want to talk to you about the burden of success. This is not something that people talk about. My cousin was talking about basically, he's doing well, has a very high paying job. He's retired from the military, so he gets some military benefits at a high level. And he often, this was a comment he made to me. He often kind of feels a little bit guilty for where he is in life. He's like, he thinks kind of in the idea of like, why me? What have I done to deserve this? Like, how did I find myself in this scenario? I'm not the hardest working. I'm not the most articulate. I don't cross all the T's and dot all. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? I think, so it led me to the idea of like, again, something that I'm keenly aware of, and it's the burden of success. People, you don't often hear about successful people complaining about their success. You don't hear that, oh man, you hear things, but you don't hear it from the perspective of healthy, empathetic, compassionate. You hear it more like, oh, you got to cut people off. Can't take everybody with you. The altitude's too high for some people. Like, you hear that kind of conversation around success. Like, you're going to leave some people. You're going to be the one in your family. You're the solitaire. You're the individual. You're the trailblazer. But nobody tells you that burning trails is exhausting. Burning trails is tedious and cumbersome. And there's sometimes you want to walk through the trails that's already been blazed. I don't want to blaze new trails. That's a paved trail over there. Why can't I go over there? Going through all these thorns and thistles. I started watching this show. I'm not going to Some of these survivalist shows, right? They be putting these people through the mosh and through very dangerous jungles. Nobody wants to blaze those trails. They're not, I wouldn't say no one wants to, but that's some difficult work, and there's a burden that comes along with that. So I want to talk about some tips and how you navigate the burden of success. People don't often talk about their success. You can see it. But once you're in it, man, you're like, whoa, this is heavy. You know, I often think sometimes my thought, as I've continued in my career, my thought many times it hadn't been about, I hadn't been afraid to fail. I've been afraid to succeed. I'm like, well, what if this really blows up? Do I have the capacity? Do I have the competence? Do I work hard enough? Do I put in enough time? Am I prepared for if this thing blows up? Do I have an infrastructure in place that will sustain this? Or will I just be a pan, you know, like a little brief flash in the pan type scenario, something that doesn't sustain, is not scalable, and you can't grow it and you can't reproduce it. You get to this place, you're like, how did I even get here? So for the best advice ever, let me talk to you, those of you that are on the path of success, how to navigate the burden of success. Number one, you need to set some boundaries. Again, I found out what got you there is not going to be the thing that keeps you there. So there may have been a time where you were able to get on the phone or answer every phone call or every call, you were able to talk to those people. You're able to meet with all the team members, or, you know, when you first start growing something, you're able to, you know, get your hands in, roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty. Well, as you become more successful, you need to set boundaries of things. It's maybe not the best use of your time to be on the phone trying to book engagements. Maybe you hire someone to do that. So you move yourself to the most effective thing that has garnered you the success. For me, it's to produce more hilarious comedy. You know, let's say I get out here and now I'm booking myself for speaking engagements. I'm booking myself for comedy events, and I'm going on podcasts, and I'm writing, I'm doing online skits, but I'm not spending any time in my set, and my set's not improving. So I'm gonna have a limited exposure to success, because the thing that got me there was my comedy, and because my comedy's engaging and funny and hilarious, so I'm not growing and cultivating my comedy, I won't grow and cultivate my career. So there's some things I should not be spending time doing because I have the resources to get someone else to do so. So set boundaries to protect your time and your energy. The other thing I would encourage you to build a community of other high achievers or people that are successful, so that you don't seem like your success is an anomaly. Like sometimes we are the smartest people in the room. That would just mean you need to find a new room. Yeah, that room no longer serves you. You need to get into rooms where what you produce annually, somebody does that in a quarter. Those are the rooms you need to get in, because what you're doing, it don't seem that bold and impressive and jaw-dropping, right? You get out of the rooms where you're the king and you're sitting at the head table. Hey, let's get you in the room where you don't even have a seat yet. You in there introducing yourself. So build community around people that are up the road a little further than you, have the same challenges and the same frustrations of growing and scaling and developing as a leader, hiring people. You know, you need to talk to folks that are hiring people. You don't need to talk to people that everybody you talk to, they trying to get a job. I'll give you some perspective, but it's not going to tell you how to keep employees engaged and happy. Retention, you're speaking two different languages. So build a community of high achievers. The other thing that you need to do as it relates to the burden of success is to practice self-care. Take care of yourself. I was having a brief conversation with a buddy of mine today. Like, he's doing some work this weekend and now he went straight to work. And I was like, hey man, you got to take half a day or something to take some time. And last but not least, stay humble. Stay humble. Keep a great self-awareness. Keep a great posture of gratefulness and gratitude, right? And ultimately, I said that was the last one, but the real last one is get a therapist. You know, find some professional help. I have my therapy session. I have a session tonight. It's been a couple of weeks, and I need to sit down and we need to work through some things because I got some things going on. So yeah, let's do recap. How to navigate the burden of success. The first thing I said is to set boundaries. You know, you're in a different state, a different phase of your life. Everybody shouldn't have access. Some folks that used to have access probably shouldn't have access anymore. You need to rearrange some things. The second thing you need to do is build community. You know, be around like-minded folks that are more successful. Don't be the most successful person in every room that you're in. The next thing is to practice self-care. Take care of yourself. You're the only you that you have. That's it, man. As number four, Kendrick Lamar says, be humble. Keep a good perspective of humility. And last but not least, get yourself some professional help. Seek an expert. Get somebody on your team that will assist you in your mental wellness. And that has been the best advice ever for this particular podcast episode. Now, the mind of Mike. This is stuff that goes through my mind that you'd be amazed. But one of the things I was in my travels, I was amongst, I thought to be a very notable person in the faith community that was on my flight. And they had a team with them, a team of folks that were traveling. And I think there was an engagement that night, and then they were going to do another thing in the city the next day. But this does happen to be a woman. I overheard them make mention to a name. And she was like, oh yes, this is Cynthia, right? But there was no other person in which she was referring to. You know, she was referring to her wig. Yeah, I did not know women were out here naming their wigs, and I dig it. I didn't know it. My wife doesn't wear a wig, so I wouldn't be aware that she would have a Cynthia and a Monique and an Ashley. And what I did find out too, that there's some travel hair and that resonates with me because I have travel clothes, and then I have clothes that I wear on stage. So what I wear to go to the engagement isn't what I wear on stage at the engagement. So I feel you with the travel hair, but I found this out eavesdropping, being nosy at the airport. Also had a thought. I'm constantly thinking about my set and how I can improve. One of the things I just thought about, and I would need some help from you. I would love for y'all to assist. You can email me at info@comedianmikegoodwin.com. You can follow me on social media and just DM me. I'm on Bowtie Comedy on Instagram, Facebook. I'm at Comedian Mike Goodwin. Twitter, I have a spot, but I'm not over there like that. But just Instagram is the best place. So I do this roll call sometimes in my show, and it was kind of, you know, it's a joke, you know, not a joke about names, but I kind of take shots at each age, like 20, you don't even know how dumb you are. But I thought how can I improve? I'm constantly thinking about, man, how can I improve what I do, right? And I thought one of the things that I could do as it relates to that roll call, I can give some wisdom to those age groups. So here's the thing. If I was like, because I got their attention. I'm highlighting, hey, with my 20-year-olds, right? And then I say something like, oh, you're just an advanced teenager. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but I'll, you know, then they may feel away, which I'm not, that's not my point, my purpose. And I may still keep a segment of that where I take a shot. But the other segment that I'm going to add is, man, what I wish someone would have told me in my 20s. And I think, you know, one of the things I would say to them is how to be less self-absorbed. I wish somebody would have shared this information. Like in your 20s, it's easy to be consumed with you. And I would have encouraged them to practice being mindful of others. Like some people are. Some people just, that's just their DNA. My natural inclination, I can be very selfish. Like I can truly just think about Mike. And to me, that's not even selfish. That's just like me being a good person. Because if I take care of me, you ain't got to take care of me. That's kind of how my thought process is. But that's not the best. That didn't serve me, right? So I would tell 20-year-old Michael to Mike Goodwin to try to be less self-absorbed. Try to look out at the people that around him and what are their needs and what are their goals and what are their aspirations? What are they trying to accomplish? Because I know I'm trying to do my thing, but you know, who are the people around you that's trying to do things similar? Because sometimes you find those people, but then there's some other people that you can pull yourself closer to. And then there may be some people that are close to you that you're like, I don't know why I'm spending so much time with this person. Let's rearrange this. It goes back to what I was talking about, the burden of success. I would also tell myself to save money. And people have told me this, I would listen, but I would explain to them, because when I was in the military, I did the college fund, the ROTC. Not, it wasn't ROTC, but the Army GI Bill. And basically in the GI Bill, I got $30,000 for my college education once I got out, but I had to invest $1,200 into that. So I had to put $100 a month into this, the GI Bill for me to access the money. Well, I wish I would have kept taking that $100 out of my check and putting it into something else, because I was already accustomed to not operating with the $100. And I'm not even talking about like save money to do a thing. Like sometimes people tell you save money to buy some new boots, to take a trip. I'm talking about save money for your 40-year-old self, like money you're not even intended on touching, money that you save, it goes into account and you're not even thinking about it. Like, oh, you got to remember that there's an account over there. That, so I would tell my 20-year-old self. And so I'm thinking about things that I would say, what I wish I would have known in my 20s, what I wish I would have known in my 30s and my 40s, because that's where I am now. But if you have some things that you would love to tell your younger version of yourself, or some young person that's younger than you, I would love for you to send these my way. And I want to impart comedy and entertainment, but I want to impart some wisdom and inspiration into some of these folks. And that's an opportunity for me to do that. One thing too, in the mind of Mike, I was reading my Bible. I don't know if y'all think I do that, but I do. I read my Bible. You know what I found to be interesting? Inside of the Bible, and you can do your own search. Samson, mother, does not have a name. What's Samson's mother's name? I would love for y'all to tell me. His dad has a name. As a matter of fact, his mother's name is his father's name, apostrophe wife. His dad's name's like Manoah. Manoah's wife. It either said wife, mother. It did not say her name. Now, I did see something that in some other religious texts, she has a name, Hazel Ponnet. Hazel Ponnet or something like that. But I found that to be quite interesting that in the Bible, Samson's mother does not have a name. Now I don't have a joke for that, but I'm gonna figure that out. But okay. I think this is the end of the podcast, man. I'm getting ready for this weekend. I'm going to go to what I call our bootleg Kentucky Derby, the Carolina Cup, which is from my hometown in Camden. It's basically where people just go and stunt. That's basically, I mean, I don't watch. I've been a few times, but it's more like a family reunion. It's more like a outside freaknik. I not know what outside freaknik was outside, but this is freaknik without the twerking and the car show. This is just folks getting all dolled up and getting all dressed into the nines and, you know, having some eats, having some drinks, and just out there kicking it. This is my first time. I've been a few times, but I'm trying to get my outfit together. So hopefully I have some pictures up on social media. This weather has been because my goal was to wear some shorts to the cup, but I don't think that's going to be the case because it's quite chilly in my parts. And last but not least, what you're not going to do segment. I just saw Sonic is selling a pulled pork cheeseburger. Why, God? Why must? See, this is what I be talking about, the food, man. Now, I don't need a pulled pork cheeseburger, but I'm intrigued. And they're not selling it because it's not selling, because it's clearly on the menu, so somebody's buying it. Please tell me you're not out there eating the pulled pork cheeseburgers. Because what you're not going to do is fit those clothes this time next year. And that's something I'm working on too. If you go and look at my social media, this time last year, April, I did the men's summit. Because, you know, again, y'all know me. I ebb and flow with my weight. I'm up, I'm down, up, down. I was in a great spot. Then I had my dad to pass. And I was like, well, let's get these cookies. So now I think I'm rounding the bend, but I noticed, I think last year around this time was when I did Men's Summit, and I saw myself in the picture and was like, all right, Mike, cut it out. Well, hopefully riding into the end of April, I'll be a lot better than where I was a year ago. And I think that's the goal, man, just to be better than where you were before. Working to be better and better every day. Hopefully this podcast is getting better because I know I enjoy doing it. I hope you enjoy listening. And this actually is the end. So again, subscribe, like it, share it. I appreciate people are commenting online. Thank you so much for your comments, good and bad, positive or negative. I mean, somebody, people just say what they want to say on the internet. I do like, so because YouTube will send an email to me when somebody leaves a comment. I kind of prepare myself because YouTube comments are more brutal. Like people in YouTube just say any kind of thing. I'm used to Facebook. Facebook is a lot of positive, but then there'll be a comment here and there, which I'm fine. Instagram, for the most part, is happy times. People are on board with what you're doing, but YouTube, I feel like these are people who don't have a clue who you are. They found your stuff, and they're going to tell you about yourself, whether that's good or bad. So please, we'd love to hear from you specifically on the roll call question that I talked about, or anything, the insight that you want to share, or how you've been enjoying the podcast. Please rate it. Give me some stars, you know, 5 preferably, but the stars that you deem to be correct. But thank y'all again for listening in, and I'll be back next week. Same bat channel, same bat place. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. I'll check you out next time. Peace.